Moms, you are special. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do is I'd like to recognize the mothers who are here with us today to worship. If you are a mother, would you please stand up? If I could have all the mothers stand up so that we can applaud the wonderful role that you serve in the kingdom of God. Amen. You deserve a round of applause for that. So happy Mother's Day to all of you wonderful moms in the congregation. You're wonderful in all that you do to your family as well to your church. And I thank you for that. Okay, just as we've given praise to our mothers, let's give praise to our God this morning. And as we begin our worship through the message, would you just declare with me Psalms chapter 150, verse 6, and say that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. One more time. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. That's amen, amen. If you've turned with your Bibles, you should be in Matthew chapter 20 with me this morning as we go to a familiar passage that perhaps you've read before, and maybe even after you've read it, you've shaken your head and rolled your eyes a little bit. But this morning, I would like to take a look at a mother who had a sincere heart for Jesus as well as for her two boys. And it's displayed in the scriptures what many mothers have for their children, and that is, today's message title is A Mother's Desire. A Mother's Desire. Follow along with me in chapter 20, verses 20 through 21, as it reads, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Command that in your kingdom that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left.'" So while the mind of Jesus was occupied with his humiliation and his death that was soon upon him, his followers were trying to come up with ways of their own honor and ease that they would have in the kingdom. And you know, that just goes to show you our poor nature that we have so easily. I mean, the mother of Zebedee's children only spoke really how others really felt. She may have said it, but others were feeling the very same thing. Because Jesus was talking about his death, and they spent 3 years with Jesus, and they were thinking, if he's talking about a kingdom, I'd kind of like to be part of that in a big way. But she, with a mother's love, sought the best for her sons. But the fact that the other disciples were displeased just showed they were just as ambitious as well. Doubtless, they wanted to fill the positions that the mother of James and John had a desire for and spoken verbally out loud to Jesus. But if you notice in the scripture, she approached the Savior reverently. She bowed down before him. She worshiped him. Yet there was too much familiarity in her request to be granted an unnamed thing, which was desiring a certain thing of Jesus that he would very well be able to grant them if he could. But he didn't. He couldn't, because he said it was the Father's decision. Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus and his kingdom. And there's no doubt that James and John, that they shared their walk with Jesus to her and the truths learned about Jesus whenever they sat down to eat a meal with their mother or when visiting their mother. So she knew all about their walk with Christ. But she was very polite in her notions of what the kingdom would ultimately become, because she believed Jesus was a king of a new kingdom. In any case, her request displayed that of trust in Jesus and a loyal union she had, as well as her sons, to Christ, as well as her determination and her desire for James and John. So, after reading this, we need not be so harsh in our judgment to her right away, but rather question ourselves as to whether we think as much of our Lord and Savior as she did. She was also aware that the fact that her son James and John was very close to Jesus. Jesus kind of had an inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Her sons made up two-thirds of that circle. And knowing how close Jesus was to her sons, she also wondered, as any good mother does, what would happen to them when Jesus established his kingdom. Perhaps maybe she was there when Jesus was telling the story at the beginning of this chapter in Matthew 20 of about the landowner who went out to find laborers for the field, and the men who were hired first were paid the exact same as those who were hired at the very last. And maybe this had caused James and John's mother to worry, will my sons have any positions of authority in the new kingdom that Jesus will establish, or are they just going to be like, blend in like everybody else? So when the opportunity presented itself, she came to Jesus and she bowed down before him and she made a request that her sons would be able to sit in places of authority and honor. And when we read this, it's easy to criticize Mrs. Zebedee for being so bold and brash to ask such a thing of our Lord and Savior. And of course, if after reading on from their text, we know from the story that Jesus tells her that her request was impossible, that it was the Father who determined who would be seated there. But after reading this and thinking about it, I think that her request can show us three important truths that we can remember from this text. Number one, the first truth is she wanted her kids to be part of the kingdom. She wanted James and John to be part of the kingdom. You see, good and godly mothers want their children to be saved. Amen? You want them to see them, you want them to see them receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's why we have baby dedications here at church and baby baptisms, depending upon your religious background. And I think that most of us parents, we can agree that this is probably the most important thing that we want for our kids. We want them to have a happy life and to be successful and to get good grades in school and perhaps someday find that special person in life that loves them and to spend the rest of their life with them and to be married. And these are all good things, but I would rather have them go without any of these and be saved, rather than to have everything in the world that they would want that thinks that they would make them happy or successful, accept a relationship with Jesus. Because we never know the love of a parent until we become parents ourselves. And you new parents fully understand what I'm saying. All of those years of mom and dad and hearing what they have to say to you and rolling your eyes and shaking your head. And after you now have children, you can say, oh, okay, I kind of get it now. You know, I'm the only son in my family, and as both of my precious daughters have married, they have taken on new last names. So I understand as a father that my family name, the Ferguson name, will no longer live on. And that doesn't bother me at all, because I'm much more concerned that my children bear their heavenly father's name rather than their earthly father's. I'm more concerned on passing them on a heritage of faith rather than just a family name to carry down the line. Godly mothers want their children to receive Jesus because they know that it's the most important decision that they'll ever make. They understand the verse that says in Matthew chapter 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." Because once you accept Jesus Christ in your life, that's the most important thing, and everything else will fall in place. The single most important thing we can ever do as parents is, and it's usually the mothers who do this, sometimes the father, but mostly the mothers, is to introduce their children to Jesus. For I know that there's parents listening to me this morning, whether you're here or whether you're listening to us on Facebook or the website that have children, and I understand as well they have children that perhaps may not be walking with Jesus. And I know how much pain this brings you. And there's no guarantees in life. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Everyone has to decide for themselves if they'll follow or not. And you can have the most godly parents in the world, but that's not a guarantee that your kids will also choose to follow Jesus. Everyone must make their own decision. Sometimes they don't simply make the choices that we wish they would make, but regardless of their decisions that they make, we still love them dearly, no matter what. Heard the story of a mother who had a 3-year-old son and a 1-year-old son, a 1-year-old daughter. And the two kids were sitting on the couch watching TV together, and the mother had to run to the kitchen for a minute, so she told her son to watch his sister while she was gone. And as soon as she went out of the room to the kitchen, she heard a thud, and then she heard some crying. So she comes running back in the living room, and she sees her daughter lying on the floor in tears, and she asked her son, "What happened?" She said, he said, "Well, you told me to watch her, so I watched her. I watched her crawl to the edge of the couch, and then I watched her fall onto the floor, and then I watched her started crying. I did exactly what you told me to do." Being a parent's not easy a lot of times. A lot of times your children mistake your words and don't fully understand the meaning behind them. Parenting comes with a lot of joy, but a lot of times it comes with some sorrows with it too. Sometimes your kids make you so proud, and sometimes you just want to shoot them. Sometimes. Maybe you can relate to the story with the mother that had 3 children who was asked the question. She said, "If you had your life to live all over again, would you still want children?" And she said, "Sure I would, but not the same ones." So a lot of you guys can relate to that. So again, I want to refer back to the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where Calvin walks by his mom and he says, "Hi, it's me, your biggest accomplishment in life." And in the next panel of the cartoon, you see his mom sitting on the couch crying and all depressed. So, you know, parenting has its ups and downs. Children bring you laughter and tears and joy and sometimes just tears. But godly mothers really want to see their children receive Jesus as their Savior, because there's no higher joy than seeing this when this happens. And if you're a mother, if you're a mother here today and you still have kids that haven't done so, keep praying. Keep praying. I don't care if they're up in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. Keep praying. No matter what the situation, keep asking God to touch their hearts. Keep asking God to draw them to Himself. Keep that hope, that mother's desire, fresh and alive within you. I know one of my best friends, he didn't get his life right with Christ until after his mother was killed in an auto accident. So you never know. And he was 55 years old. So you never know when or where this will happen in a child's life, but keep praying. So number one, she wanted her kids to be part of the kingdom. Number two, she wanted her kids to be participating in the kingdom of God. So not only did Mrs. Zebedee want her children to be part of God's kingdom, she wanted them to be actively involved in the work of His kingdom. You see, it's not enough that we just want our kids to be saved many times, because churches are full of people who are just content and they just kind of want to come fill a pew on Sunday mornings, and after that it's done. They go on with the rest of their week like it's no other big thing. But you know, there's just plenty of people willing to just sit back and to come and just receive a blessing and leave, and just that's it. Seldom do they get involved in any real work of the church. So if that happens, the question has to be asked, so where does the spirit of service and excellence begin? Well, it begins in the home with the parents setting the example and praying for their sons and daughters that may they might someday be involved in God's kingdom and his work. It's the parents serving as Sunday school teachers, as youth group leaders, as children's leaders, as ushers, as event hosts. It's children seeing how much the church really means to their parents by seeing them practically and joyfully serving the Father. Because children will, in every case or every occasion, they'll talk, they'll walk, they'll eat, they'll think, they'll respond, and they'll act like their parents because they are mirrors of you. Billy Graham once said, give them a target to shoot at, give them a goal to work toward, and give them a pattern that they can see clearly. And in doing this, you give your child something that gold and silver cannot buy. Little boy forgot his lines in Sunday school once during a Sunday school presentation, and his mother was in the front row trying to prompt him what to say, so she would gesture and form words silently with her lips trying to speak with him, but it didn't help because her son's memory just went blank. So finally, what she did is she leaned forward and whispered the cue to her son. She says, I am the light of the world. And with this, the child's face lit up, and with great feeling and with a loud, clear voice during the presentation, he said, my mother is the light of the world. And, you know, it's true. Many mothers have been the light in this world in the sense of living their faith and living by faith in the Lord. I mean, there's no better example than a mother can give to her children than living by faith in the Lord and in serving him. I know a month or so back, Erin gave a testimony of her God using her in an airport, and her sons just ate that up, listening to how God used their mom. And children love to hear how God uses them. But don't be like the story of one family one Sunday after the child dedication service. As the family was driving home from church after the dedication of their baby, little Johnny, the older brother, he cried all the way home in the back of the car. And his mother was asking him three times, what's wrong with you, Johnny? Why are you crying? And finally the boy replied, he said, the pastor said that he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys. So, yeah, sometimes children just don't understand. But godly parents do set an example of the faith and service for their kids. And they model it for them. They model it for them what a Christian life is supposed to look like. They don't just want them to be part of the kingdom, but to be participating in the kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes, For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is within you as well. So we see the power of a godly example lived out in the life of Timothy. It was the mother, it was the grandmother that led him to receive Jesus and eventually come to the place of an important place of service alongside Paul, the Apostle Paul. And this is the power of a godly example. My mother and my grandmother were examples that fueled my desire in loving the church and coming to know Jesus. My grandmother was a church pianist for her church. I used to love to sit and listen to her play both at church as well as whenever I'd go over and spend the night with her. She'd get on that piano and she'd just run those fingers along those keys. And I was just fascinated as a child. My mother, she was a youth group leader of the church when I was a child or young teenager growing up. That wasn't very common back in those days in the Baptist church to have a woman as a youth group leader. But she pioneered that movement, and she was able to call those teenagers in from the crevices and behind the trees and under the culverts out there in the countryside and get them to church. And that made an impression as a child on me. As a Sunday school teacher, I would watch her prepare, and I would see how the children would listen to her, and that fueled my desire to become a Sunday school teacher in my church. Both of them extensively talked about how God's presence in their life was amazing and how the faith that they had in Jesus Christ was so important and how they saw Him working in my life while growing up. That it's important to tell your children how you see God in them as well. And so when we see this bit of scripture about Mrs. Zebedee and her two sons, James and John, and we read it, and we shake our head, but we've all had those experiences with our mothers. Well, they'll go up there and ask something that embarrasses us. But we see the desire of a mother is illustrated by the mother of James and John with three truths to remember. Not only did she want her boys to be part of the kingdom, not only did she want her boys to be participating in the kingdom, but finally, number three, she wanted her kids to be powerfully used in the kingdom of God. You see, Mrs. Zebedee had big dreams for James and John, for her boys. Not that they would just be in the kingdom and serving the kingdom, but she wanted them to be able to reach their full potential because she understood who Jesus was. And in any kingdom, there's no higher positions than those who sit on the left and the right of the king himself. And that's exactly what she wanted for her two boys, James and John. Not that they would just be believers and serving, but they would have positions of importance and that they would be making a difference in the kingdom to come. She wanted them to be right up there in front, right alongside with the men that they spent 3 years following and giving everything up for their careers to follow this man Jesus. And so before we're too harsh on Mrs. Zebedee for being brash and for being presumptuous, we need to at least admire her for her boldness she had to go up to Jesus and ask this. Because as good parents, we want to see our children strive for excellence. We don't want them to see just to settle for anything that's just beneath their giftings and talents that perhaps the mother and father see in their child's life. There's an old African proverb that says this. It says, in the eyes of its mother, every beetle is a gazelle. I love that picture when I read that. I mean, you have this awkward-looking dung beetle rolling this piece of dung until it gets bigger, but to its mother, it's a graceful gazelle jumping through the tall grass. Good mothers don't just want the bare minimum for their kids. They want what is best. And you see this in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, especially when you read about the book of the book that talks about Hannah in the Bible. She was barren. She couldn't have any children. So she prayed to God, and God gave her a son. She called his name Samuel, which literally means God has heard me. And in gratitude for the gift of that child, Hannah dedicated him, Samuel, to the Lord. But this was more than just your usual baby dedication, kind of like we have here. She actually took him to the temple so that he could be raised in serving the Lord. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, it reads, I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there in the temple. And I salute their mother, the mothers here today who have given their kids to God, either if they've come up for baby dedications or even perhaps later in life dedicating them to God and recognizing that they are His and not just yours alone, but they're God's, so that they would grow up and become everything that God has for them. And if you read the book of Samuel, you'll see that Samuel grew up to be the first, probably one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. I mean, the Bible says that all Israel witnessed that when Samuel speaks, what he speaks comes to pass. The Bible says that none of his words fall to the ground, meaning that they're empty. But whatever he spoke came to pass. That's why we need to remember, mothers, why being mother is such an important role. Because a lot of times it can be discouraging. You get stuck in the day-to-day routine of changing diapers, and you become accustomed to washing clothes and making lunches so much that a lot of times you forget the important role that you have. Reminds me of the father who was trying to explain the concept of his marriage to his four-year-old daughter, and he got out the wedding album thinking that maybe images, visual images, would help her understand, and he explained the whole entire wedding service to her. And after he went through the picture album and explained what was happening and what was taking place and why this was there and they were there, when he was finished, he asked his daughter, "Do you have any questions for me about this?" And the daughter, she pointed to the picture of the wedding party in the picture album, and she said, "Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us?" So, here again, it's the children have their own visuals of what a mother is. I mean, it can feel like that, right, mothers? I mean, at times you feel that you're just hired help. But remember how important your job is today. Because you are shaping lives. And you're seeking that they would be saved, serving, and successful. What a calling. What a calling that mothers have in the eyes of God. This Mother's Day, I just want to say thank you to all the physical mothers here, as we applauded you earlier. To all of the spiritual mothers here. And when I say spiritual mothers, I'm speaking of mothers who impart their spiritual wisdom and experiences to you as a church, our loving church family. Those mothers who have sacrificed, they've served, and they've prayed, and they've loved in spite of the trials that they endure. So thank you for modeling Jesus to us, mothers. This is your day, and may God bless you in it. And as our band makes its way forward to the stage, I would just like to repeat, a mother's desire in looking at the three truths we saw today teaches the determination and providence of caring mothers. And so, women, mothers, thank you again for all that you do for the next generation that you continue to influence. And the desire of a mother is to see the people who come to God and their impact in the kingdom for generations to come. Like I said earlier, your love is the first impression that your child will see of the love of God. And my prayer today is, if there is someone here who has never experienced the love of God, that you can experience that love today. That this day will be your day of decision. Please join me in prayer. Father, today we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. The gift of motherhood is such a rich blessing. And we thank you for the privilege and honor of those bearing the title of mom. The sacrifices made out of love for you, the sacrifices they've made for their children, pave a road full of examples and encouragement for us to follow. Help our mothers to remember, Father, to go to the places in Scripture when they yearn a sense of closeness to you. When the mothers who perhaps feel alone in their struggles as a mom and through the task of motherhood, let them never lose sight of who they are in you, Jesus. We ask that you would keep their feet on the path of righteousness and the hearts in pursuit of your wisdom. Bless their lives, Father. blessed their lives with godly friends and God-centered friendships for support. Bless and protect their marriages amidst the challenges of parenting and the trials of raising children. Father, we ask that you would create and form them and the mothers that you know that they already are as they seek you in strength and guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. All the church said, Amen.